me try to preach to you if everybody's obeyed the Lord this morning. I don't want to cut anybody out, but let me try to give you a little thought, just a little simple thought this morning. I want to go in Luke chapter 19. I want to begin reading in verse number 1. And if you want to title this message, this is The Profile of a Sinner's Conversion. The Profile of a Sinner's Conversion. I asked myself, and I guess I ought to pray before I begin. It's just my manner to pray. And so if you would, please pray with me and for me. You've been around me enough to know I'll just make a mess out of things if the Lord doesn't get in it. That's just the way it is. I've got to have the Lord to help me. And so would you pray with me and for me? Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning and I thank you. I thank you for your presence, for your goodness. And now, Father, I ask you to help us as we attempt to preach your word. I pray, Father, if you would, that you would just let me preach with unction and with power. And as you did, O Lydia, on the riverbank that day, would you open hearts and allow the Word of God to accomplish what you want to accomplish. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. If there's anything that would hinder the working of your Holy Spirit, please move it out of the way. And we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Let me read the text, just 10 verses. And I normally don't do that. I normally just take a verse at a time, but I'd like to read the whole text. This is the story of Zacchaeus. Some call him Zacchaeus, others Zacchaeus. I want you to just let the Word of God speak to you, and I want to preach a little salvation message this morning. You know, I don't often do that. I more often than not challenge believers to go on with God. As a rule, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Sheep, I'm convinced sheep reproduce sheep. I'm convinced of that. But this morning, the Lord has put this on my heart. And when I have a salvation message, I really feel that there may be a soul in the balances. I just really feel that may be the case. And so there is a seriousness about this service, maybe might not be with some of you about other services. If indeed there is a soul in the balance, it is very serious service. And I challenge you, usually when I preach on salvation, there'll be commotion. The devil will try to hinder some way or another. So I would challenge you, and I know it's just a small sanctuary, but I challenge you, children, if you can, just be still and quiet and listen to what I've got to say. All right, Luke chapter 19, let's look in verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now they tell me this is the last time that he ever passed through Jericho before he went to the cross. This is the last time he went through the city. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. Let me start that verse again. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So when we come to verse number one, Zacchaeus is a unsaved man on his way to hell. And 10 verses later, Zacchaeus is saved and on his way to heaven. He's lost and on his way to hell in verse 1. But he's saved and on his way to heaven in verse number 10. And I want to look at some things that I think are important when it comes to this thing of salvation. The first thing I see in verse number 1, and you read the verse, and I guess to some it seems like an unimportant verse, but the Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. It doesn't say he lives there. It doesn't say he was going to abide there, continue there for an extended time. But it says he was passing through Jericho. He's only passing through. And I think that's critical to us. I just want to say this to this church and to you, sinner. The time for you to be saved is when Jesus is passing by. That's the time. A lot of folks think you can just be saved any old time you get ready. But I'm going to get just ahead of my notes this morning. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. And when the Lord is passing by, that's when you need to get in. And Mike, and I say the Lord doesn't always pass by. And by that, and I know the critics will say this, we bring him with us, and that's right. But there's times that the Lord manifests himself in a much greater way than he does at other times. And here's what I want to say to you, sinner. You better get in when the Lord's passing by. Very, very key point. There can be no salvation unless Jesus and the sinner interact. Let me just stop and say that. Sinner, unless you and Jesus do business, you and the Lord do business, you cannot be saved. That's something to think about, isn't it? The Lord is part of this thing that we call salvation. Really, he's everything to this thing we call salvation. So I want you to understand this, that here's Zacchaeus saying he could not, it all rests on the fact that the Lord is passing through. And if the commentators are right, and I think they are, from what I can read and study, he never passed through Jericho again. And Sarah, let me tell you, let me just say this to you, and I'm not trying to scare you. And I'm not trying to twist your arm or frighten you into doing something in the flesh. But there will be a day when God will pass by your life for the last time. And I don't take pleasure in saying that. That's a sober thought to me. But there'll be a day, and I've heard some people say, and their testimonies, had they not got saved when they did, they were sure that's the last time God was ever going to deal with them. My, that's sad, isn't it? That's sad. That's sad to think about. I don't know if that's so or not, but that by their testimony, that's what they said. Now, I really don't know that Zacchaeus was a resident of Jericho, but if that was his homeland and that was his territory that he operated in, then the fact of the matter is, this was the last time that he was going to have an opportunity to encounter Jesus. And my, that ought to sober us this morning. It ought to sober us for our loved ones and our family that's unsaved. And so the Bible says in verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, I think that's an unusual word to put in the text. The Holy Ghost put in the text there, and behold, one well-known evangelist said that word means looky, looky. It means to stop and not just give a quick glance, but to stop and look. I think the Lord really wants us to consider this man Zacchaeus. I think he wants us to just take time out and to look at Zacchaeus and see what he was and who he was and what God can do in a life. And so here is Zacchaeus, and the Holy Ghost says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. And we begin to learn some things about Zacchaeus in verse number 2. There was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. Excuse me. And he was rich. Now, here's where we stop a minute and we could say this. He had it all. I mean, really, we know the publicans. I say he had it all. He was hated by his countrymen. A publican was a tax collector working for the Roman government. And when he would obtain the taxes the government required, anything else he could get out of the people was his. And they were known for being crooked and cheating people out of their money. They were hated. They were considered traitors by their own people. But the fact of the matter was, Zacchaeus was successful. I suspect he was a good talker. I suspect he was a good salesman. He could convince people they needed to pay more than they needed to pay. He was, in the business world, he's what we would say very successful. He was so successful, he was the chief of the publicans. He'd been promoted. I suspect he had a group of publicans under him, and he taught them how to get all they could get out of God's people. So here's a man who, by the world standards, is successful. He's rich. He has wealth. He has a position. And although he's hated by some, he's looked up by the Roman officials who think highly of him, for they have promoted him. And so when we look at Zacchaeus, here's what we could say. Here's a world success. Here's a man that's experiencing world success. But I want you to notice what it says about this fellow, and he sought to see Jesus. Yeah, he sought to see Jesus. Here's what I asked myself: why was it he sought to see Jesus? And by the way, sinner, you're going to have to have a desire to know Jesus in a better way if you're ever saved. There has to be something on the inside of you that wants Jesus. That's right. You can preach to a lot of sinners, they don't want Jesus. They have no interest in Jesus. Life is good. They don't care anything about him. They're not concerned about spiritual matters. I'm going to tell you, that sinner that can get help from the Lord is that one that wants to know him in a better way. Deep in their heart, there's a desire for them to know Jesus in a better way. Now that was Zacchaeus. And I've asked myself this question: why? Why was that? Why would he want to know Jesus in a better way? He's got a business, a thriving business, and my, he could be about his business activities or maybe spending some of his money or doing a lot of things, but he wants to know about Jesus. Was it for financial reasons? I asked myself that. Was he thinking maybe this would be a good source of future income? I don't think that's it. Maybe it was just curiosity. Who's Jesus? Let me see. He went to too much trouble, folks, for that to be the case. Here's what I think. The preacher said it back there. I think somebody told him about Jesus. Let me just say this. If he did not know anything about Jesus or even know about Jesus passing by, he may have missed out. And let me just stop and say this. It's very important we tell people about Jesus. You know what I'm fearful of? That we pass by opportunities every day when we ought to be telling folks about Jesus. Here's Zacchaeus, and he has it all, but he's heard about somebody's told him about Jesus. Maybe they've told him how powerful his miracles were. I don't know. Maybe they've told him what great preaching he does. Never man spake like this man spake. Maybe somebody said, man, you ought to hear him preach. My, you ought to see his healing ability. And then somebody told him that he was, some way or another, it was communicated to him that Jesus was passing by this place. He had knowledge of Jesus being near. Why did he seek him? Was it money? Was it fame? I'm going to tell you what I think. I think even though he had a position, and even though he had plenty of money, there was something missing in his life. And can I just say, you can have all the world has to offer, but if you don't have Jesus, there's something missing in your life. You can have popularity. You can be promoted to the chief of whatever position you have. You can have a bank account and look at your balance every day and just wallow in what you've accumulated. But if you don't have Jesus, there's something missing in your heart and life. I just wonder this morning if maybe there's somebody here and you've got it all. You've got everything you could ask for. I'm talking about young or old. You've got the things that you want, that you thought would make you happy. But really, if you would be honest, you'd say this, there's something missing. I'm longing for something else. And I want to tell you what that longing is. Let me tell you what you're longing for, whether you know it or not. It's Jesus. That's what you want. That's what will make you happy. That's what will satisfy when nothing else satisfies. Here's Zacchaeus, and he has all these things in life and all the accomplishments he has, but he wants to know about Jesus. Now, I understand that's just supposition on my part. The Bible doesn't tell us why he ran to Jesus, but I'm as comfortable that's the case as I'm standing here today. Here's a man. I want you to notice what it says. In verse number 4 we find out, or verse number 3, we find out in verse 2, he was a publican and he was chief and he was rich and he sought to see Jesus. Sinner, would you like to know Jesus? Would you like to know Jesus? I mean, that's just a question I'm just asking you this morning. Would you like to know him? If you would, you can. You can. And so here's Zacchaeus, verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Now let me say this to you, sinner, if you're here today, there will always be a challenge in getting to Jesus. There'll be something the devil will put in your way that will make it hard for you to get to Jesus. That's right. Now here's what it is with some of them. What will they think of me if I were to, in this case, maybe come to the altar What would they think of me if I were to go down front and ask God to save me? And because of that pride, because of what you think other people might think about you, that keeps you from doing what you ought to do. That's an obstacle in you getting to Jesus. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you're afraid. You're just afraid to step out and be what you and do what you ought to do. That's an obstacle in getting to Jesus. See, with Zacchaeus, the obstacle was the press. You know what the press was? It was people. You know, primarily what keeps us from going to Jesus as sinners is people. That's right. They stand in our way. They make fun of Jesus and folks who are saved. And maybe you're afraid of losing your popularity or what you might have to give up or what you might have to do or what God might ask of you. Those are all obstacles in getting to Jesus. Zacchaeus had an obstacle. He had an obstacle in getting to Jesus. It was a press, and not only the press, but he was short of stature. He just couldn't do it on his own. His flesh was unable to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. And so here is Zacchaeus, and he has a desire. He's heard about Jesus. He wants to know more about Jesus, and he even makes a little effort, but he runs into an obstacle. And had it been any other, the story might end with he turned and walked away. Might have been that. But not Zacchaeus. We know he's very successful, and success requires persistence. And I really could say in his personality profile, he was a persistent man based on what I know about him. And again, that would be supposition, but he did not let that obstacle keep him from Jesus. Now, I want to ask you, sinner, are you going to let what's keeping you from Jesus send you to hell? Are you going to let those obstacles that the devil puts in your way to keep you from Jesus? Are you just going to turn and walk away because it would be difficult on your flesh to humble down and come, excuse me, come to an altar? Zacchaeus would not let his obstacles keep him from Jesus. And sinner, I want to challenge you, don't let your fear, don't let your concerns, don't let your friends, don't let people keep you from coming to Jesus when the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, wooing you toward Him. Don't let that happen to you. Here's Zacchaeus, and notice what he did. Now, he's a businessman. I would equate Zacchaeus to maybe a corporate banker or a tax accountant or some kind of high up somebody. But Jesus is passing by and he's going to miss out. But he wants to see him so bad. Notice what he does. Verse number 4, and he ran before. Can you imagine some of these higher up bankers with them big $1,000 suits or whatever they are, the cost now, running to get to a tree, to climb a tree? Here's what you would say if your banker's running, he jumps in the tree and climbs to the top of the tree. You'd say he's crazy. He's a nut. Can I tell you what he did? Can I tell you what this is really a picture of? He just laid his pride aside. Pride sent so many people to hell. So many. It's so sad. It's so sad. Good people have let pride in their life send them to hell, but not Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he ran, verse 4, he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree for one purpose. He humbled down. I guess there were some folks laughing. Look at that fool. Look at that fella. What in the world is he doing? Zacchaeus didn't care. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know Jesus. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see, for he was to pass that way. My, he had a desire. He wanted to learn more about him. The Lord, that, you know what this really tells me? That the Lord is at work in his life. The Lord was working on his heart. Are you here today and the Lord working on your heart? Deep in your heart, you want him. You can't. Whatever obstacle it is keeping you from him, you can't seem to turn loose. Or get over, or get past, or get under, however you get by it. But here's what Zacchaeus saw. He saw a tree. He saw a tree. Do you know the cross is spoken of as a tree at times? You know how you can really see Jesus? If you really want going to be saved, you've got to go by Calvary. That's right. You see, at Calvary, Jesus, the Savior of the world, give his life. Had it not been for that tree, Zacchaeus could not have saw Jesus. He could not have been saved. But he climbed that tree. And so with you, sinner, you're going to have to see Calvary. At Calvary, your sin debt was paid in full. Sinner, right now, you've got a record. You've got a record of sin. Every sin you've ever committed is charged to you today. It's charged to your account. It's on you. And a holy and a righteous God can't overlook your sin, because then he wouldn't be righteous and he wouldn't be just. Sin has to be paid for. And right now, your sin debt's on you. Your sin penalty is on you. And the wages of sin is death. And death is eternity in the lake of fire. Sinner, would you go to Calvary with me for just a minute and see Jesus? And here's what he did. And I can't understand it. And when I preach on Calvary, I feel so insufficient. I never touch it. I never scratch the surface, I don't feel like. But at Calvary, the sin debt of the world, your sins were placed on Jesus. Every sin you have ever committed was placed on Jesus. Now, let me back up. He came to this earth as the God-man, and he never committed a sin, but at Calvary, every sin was placed on him, and he willingly went to Calvary and suffered the sin debt, or suffered the penalty that you will have to pay for your sins if you reject him. He suffered that penalty so you won't have to. I could use some big words, but let me keep it real simple. He took your place. He took your whipping. He suffered the suffering that you should have suffered. That's right. And when it was complete, here's what he said: it is finished. And you know what finished meant? It meant the sin debt was paid in full. Sin's been paid for. And he was, let me finish the gospel message. He was buried. And on the third day, he arose again. Now your sin debt, sinner's been paid for. But you access your pardon from your sins by faith. When the Holy Spirit is dealing with you and you by faith believe that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross, shed his blood, gave his life, arose the third day, paid the sin debt in full. When you accept that and ask him to save you, something marvelous happens. Your sins are washed away. They're gone. And the imputed righteousness of Christ, but it's a bookkeeping term. It means they charge it to your account. Those sins that were on your account, the blood of Jesus washes away. They're gone. You remember, but the Lord doesn't remember. I say hallelujah, what a Savior. And not only that, but his righteousness is charged to your account. Where there was a record of sin, now there's a record of Christ's righteousness on your account. And you access that righteousness, let me say it again, you access that righteousness by faith, by believing, by receiving. And so here's Zacchaeus. And for us, he's up the tree. It's a picture of us being at Calvary. He's at Calvary. And when you get to Calvary, that's when the Lord will start recognizing things. That's right. And I want you to notice this sinner. Just notice this with me. And he ran before, and verse 4, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Now I'll tell you why he looked up, because he knew where he was at. Sinner, let me tell you this. The Lord knows where you're at. You may think you're hiding. You may think you're getting by. You may be fooling the preacher. And you may be fooling your mom and dad if you're a child. You may be fooling your spouse if you're an adult. But can I just say this? The Lord knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. Every one of you, he knows where you're at. He knows if you're lost. He knows if you're pretending to be saved and you're not. He knows what's on the inside of you. He knows every sin you've ever committed. Well, here's Zacchaeus, and the Lord just walked by. And when he got right where he's at, he looked up. He looked up because he knew he's up there. He knows where you're at. And here's what he said to him. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. But here's what I'd say if I were you. Listen, I'd say, well, why would he want to fool with a publican? The whole country hates him. He's going to ruin his reputation. Jesus is going to ruin his reputation if he fools with this old publican that nobody cares about. Can I just say this to you, sinner? The Lord loves sinners. He loves you. They may be nobody care anything about you, but there's one person that does care, and that's the Lord. He loves you. He's not worried about tarnishing his reputation. He'll identify with you if you will with him. That's exactly right. You may be worried about ruining your reputation if you accept Christ, but I want to tell you this. He's not worried about his reputation. He'll take the vilest sinner. Hey, it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's exactly right. If you're here and you're unsaved, I want to tell you the will, God's will for your life is that somewhere when he deals with your heart that you be saved. That's his will. And so he told him, said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. You know what the Lord wants to do? For you, sinner, he wants to abide with you. He wants to move in, take residence. He'll do that if you'll let him. He'll abide with you. He'll just move in. You know, I have him every day, Brother Bud, the Lord's with me. Sometimes it don't seem like it. Sometimes I don't really realize it. But he told me he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Brother Bud, you're in this situation. I won't tell you, you'll never be alone, Brother Bud. I told my mom, I said, it must get lonesome down here by yourself. You know what she said, Brother Bud? Why, son, I'm not alone. The Lord's with me. That's what my mama told me, Bud. Told the preacher, she helped him more than I helped her. He'll be with you. Sinner, he wants to move in. Sinner, he wants you. Let me see if I can go on here and finish up. I know it's getting late. And here's what it said. And he made haste and came down. And here's what I want you to get. And received him joyfully. You have to receive him. You have to want him. You have to welcome him in. Sir, I want to ask you this. Do you want him? Do you want him to be your Savior? I know there's obstacles. I don't know how you can get past them outside the grace of God. I know there's obstacles that's hindering you, but really deep in your heart, do you want him? Would you like to have him? Would you like to have him living on the inside? Notice the word that it says. Received him. What's the word there? Joyfully. Here's what you say. If I get saved, then I can't do this, and all my joy's gone. That's what the devil told me about preaching. You start preaching, you can't. Saturday, you got to be in all. You can't do this. You can't do that. You'll lose all your joy. It's the happiest life I ever had. It's the truth. You wouldn't think a preacher would be happy having just study and pray and read all the time. Man, it's the greatest life I've ever lived. I wouldn't want nothing else. I wouldn't step down to be the president of the United States. You think I'm just saying that? I wouldn't do it for, they couldn't pay me enough money to step down for something like that. I've got off my point. My point's this. Sinner, when you get Jesus, there's joy. There's joy. You don't lose out, you gain. It's not a loss, it's a profit for your life. Sinner, here's what he did. He received him with joyfully. Came down, received him joyfully. Let me just read the rest of it. I'm through. It says this. And when they saw it, they all murmured. Always a critic in the crowd. They all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. Man, isn't it amazing how salvation changed lives? I might have written that verse down. I'd usually butcher it here it is, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, that's what the Bible says. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I'm going to say this. It might be a little harsh. If your salvation doesn't make a change, it's suspect. That's right. Salvation changes you. Do you hear me? Salvation will change your life. It changes you. Here's Zacchaeus, and man, he's all about money. He's all about riches. He's all about climbing to the top. And now the Lord's moved in, and he says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Money wasn't important after Jesus showed up. And if I've taken anything from any man but false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus recognizes a salvation that changes lives. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Then I'm going to close on verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here's what I want to say to you. This morning, he's seeking. He's seeking that sinner to save him. Is there a sinner here he wants to save? He's searching these pews, Dre. He's searching down these pews looking for a sinner that he wants to save. He's seeking. He's seeking. He cares enough that he's trying to seek you out, sinner. He's seeking you out. He's going up and down these pews this morning seeking for a sinner that he might save. Here's what I want to ask you. This is my invitation. Has he sought you out this morning? Has he put a desire in your heart to be saved? He has the ability to save you if you'll allow him to. And he's seeking you. He wants to save you. Would you come and be saved today? Let's bow our heads. Sister Grace is going to come and just play softly. I've preached what God has given me to say. And I have to believe him putting this message on my heart. There is a sinner in this sanctuary somewhere that may need to be saved this morning. And I know there's all kinds of obstacles. The devil's telling you why not to be saved. He's reminding you of some friends that might laugh at you. Some workmates that might make fun of you. He's reminding you of some things you might have to give up in your life. I want to tell you what you get's worth far more than you'll ever give up if you'd come to him. I beg you this morning, would you come while Sister Grace plays for us? Would you come? Would you just step out? Say, preacher, it's just so hard. Why don't you just take one step and see if the Lord won't help you with the rest of them? Would you come while she plays?